You can listen to Issues Etc. live and on demand with the new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. You can get these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Give us a call, send us an email, or follow us on Facebook or Twitter. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. The new Issues Etc. iPhone and Android app. Download today at issuesetc.org. There's an app for that.
Answer the responsibility we're given in Proverbs to speak up for those who cannot speak for themselves.
In Wilberforce's day, going with the flow meant supporting slavery, that Africans are not fully human. In Bonhoeffer's world, in Nazi Germany, it meant supporting the idea that Jews are not fully human. So whom do we say is not fully human today? Who is expendable to us?
My religious beliefs affects my character and the way I treat people and the way I live.
I love how Chrysostom ties the transfiguration to the passion, as though this is nothing. You want to really see some glory of God. Look at him dying and bleeding on the cross for your sins.
Southern Illinois truck drivers, love issues, etc.
Can't say that it was unexpected. Of course, it does set the stage for if the Supreme Court would like to take this case. What one of our guests, Dr. Jennifer Roback Moore, said yesterday on the air will be the Roe v. Wade of same-sex marriage decision if the Supreme Court takes the case that is headed its way from the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. They ruled yesterday that California's ban on same-sex marriage was unconstitutional. That's the news. Now I'd like a legal perspective on it, and we'll do that here in the first few minutes of this hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, February the 8th. We're coming to you live, and thanks for tuning us in. We'll be talking with William Duncan of the Marriage Law Foundation, and then a little bit later, Robert Morrison will tell us why he, as a Lutheran, defends Catholic conscience rights. He's written recently for the National Review Online about that. And we'll round off today's hour with Eric Metaxas. He was a speaker recently at the National Prayer Breakfast, and he had a lot of things to say that were directed, of course, to the prayer breakfast, but also apparently, at least the way people are reading it now, at the man standing and sitting next to him, and that would be President Barack Obama. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Our in-studio email address is talkback@issuesetc.org, and our Twitter address at issuesetc. William Duncan is director of the Marriage Law Foundation and Sutherland Institute Center for Family and Society. Bill, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
What stood out most to you about yesterday's decision by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeal?
There are a lot of strange things about the opinion, but the thing that stood out most was the contempt that the court showed to the voters of California and their understanding that the marriage is the union of a husband and wife. That's what stood out, I think, most.
What do you mean by that, the contempt shown the voters?
Well, you know, typically we want to assume that our courts are going to listen to those who are ultimately responsible to make the laws and to assume that they're acting in good faith, and in fact, the absolute opposite happened here. The court assumed that voters acted in an irrational and hate-filled way, even though the evidence that the court used to support that position points to the absolute opposite position, that voters were trying to preserve the millennia-old, I mean, really as old as history, understanding of marriage, that treated that as if it was, you know, a crazy thing. And that's what struck me as strange in the court's opinion.
Is my perception of this, and I do not have a legal perspective, but just a layperson's perspective, and that is ordinarily you would expect a law that has come under challenge like this to be assumed to be constitutional, kind of innocent until proven guilty, and the burden of proof would lie with those who want to assert its violation of the Constitution. That didn't seem to be the case with the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals.
That's exactly right. You've read that correctly. What's happened here is the court has said, well, you know, we're gonna apply a test that the U.S. Supreme Court has created called the rational basis test, and we're gonna ask whether or not this law had any rational reason for existing, essentially. And of course, that kind of test doesn't defer to the voters or the people who are responsible to make the laws. It just assumes the judges can use their own subjective opinions about what's a good idea and what's not as the constitutional standard, which puts them in the place of the Constitution.
So what was the weakest element of the argument made by those who wanted the court to decide as it did yesterday?
Well, I think that the weakest element is the idea that there's no rational reason to support our understanding of marriage as a union of a husband and wife. To treat that as if it's just irrational, it's not based in anything, that's a pretty weak argument. I think most voters, and in fact most courts even, have recognized that the reason that we treat marriage between man and woman different than any other kind of relationship is the intrinsic tie it has to children and guaranteeing that they'll have, wherever possible, a relationship with their own mother and father.
How much, if at all, was that particular element of the defense of natural marriage a part of any of the arguments made or the testimony heard by the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals?
The attorneys who were defending Proposition 8, not the state, which refused to defend it, but the attorneys who represent the groups that are supportive of Proposition 8, they made that the centerpiece of their argument, and I think they did a really excellent job in pointing out to the court the benefits that marriage has for society. But knowing that makes it all the more surprising to open the court's opinion, read through it, and realize that anytime they even mention those kinds of arguments, they completely mischaracterize them. And then where they didn't mischaracterize them, they just ignored them completely. So this question, which of course was central to voters' understanding of why they supported Proposition 8, was completely disregarded by the court that was reviewing the law.
So what are the legal ramifications of this decision yesterday and, of course, the next step that it will take, and that is a decision on the part of the Supreme Court whether or not to hear the appeal?
Well, the direct result of this decision will be that California has to recognize same-sex marriage again and as soon as the appeals in this case are ended. Now, that could take some time because, both sides now will want to go to the U.S. Supreme Court and get them to weigh in on the decision. There's a possible next step in between that where those who are supporting Proposition 8 might ask for the full Ninth Circuit to hear the case and reverse the decision from yesterday. But the basic point is that California, assuming this decision is not overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court, which it should be, then California gets same-sex marriage. But in addition to that, you're going to have this just invites lawsuits in other states that are in a similar position in California, where there are some benefits of marriage that have been given to same-sex couples, but the status of marriage has been reserved for unions of husband and wife. All of those states, the Ninth Circuit has just kind of held up a green light and said, you're free to go ahead and start challenging these laws because we've signaled we're likely to find such challenges acceptable. And so we'll have more litigation, more attempts to overthrow either popular votes or legislative votes about what marriage is.
So if the Supreme Court were to refuse to hear this case and let the lower ruling stand, it sounds like you're saying it would just kind of slow the inevitable, and that is this ruling would not simply affect California.
That's exactly right. It affects California immediately, but again, our court system is based on the idea of precedent, and when a court has said this is what the Constitution means, even if they're kind of making up out of whole cloth like they are in this case, once they make that decision, then other courts have to follow the courts within the Ninth Circuit, and other courts around the country may very well choose to follow that same logic, such as it is. And, at the very least, we're inviting a number of more lawsuits on this question.
Do you think the Supreme Court will agree to hear the case?
I think so. I hope they will. This decision is pretty radical. I think there's a good reason to believe that the U.S. Supreme Court will want to correct the record and make sure that the voters of California get the respect that they deserve from our court system, and that marriage gets that respect as well.
If you were to be asked to put together an appeal for the U.S. Supreme Court to hear, what, in a nutshell, would it say?
Well, it would say that the voters of California are not irrational bigots. In fact, they are trying carefully to preserve a social institution that has provided unique benefits to society through time, and that they can continue to do that only if it's respected, and that this court, meaning the U.S. Supreme Court, should act quickly to reverse the really rogue decision of courts below it to overturn the people of California's reasoned determination about what marriage should mean in their law, and show respect for the our system of representative government.
Do you agree with Dr. Jennifer Obeck Morse that this can be characterized as the Roe v. Wade of same-sex marriage?
Absolutely. If this case goes to its logical conclusion, every state's marriage law is supposedly irrational, and then we end up in the same position we are on the life issue, where courts take it upon themselves to overturn, the accumulated morality and wisdom of generations.
Bill Duncan is director of the Marriage Law Foundation and Sutherland Institute's Center for Family and Society. We will have a link to both of these organizations at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Bill, thanks for your time.
Thanks so much, John.
When we come back, a brief conversation with Robert Morrison. If you look at National Review Online, you may have seen a recent column from him titled, Why This Lutheran Defends Catholics' Conscience Rights. We're going to talk about the conscience rights of American Catholics and American Christians on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 8th. After that, we'll spend the last half hour of the program talking to a recent speaker at the National Prayer Breakfast. He actually got to speak right before President Barack Obama. Eric Metaxas, a regular guest on this program. He's author of the book Bonhoeffer, Pastor, Martyr, Prophet, Spy. We'll see what he had to say at the National Prayer Breakfast and why he said it in about 10 minutes.
It was the day after Christmas in 1538 when family and friends who were gathered around Luther's table heard him say, "There is no finer gift that a parent can give to a child than an education in the liberal arts." For over 100 years, St. Paul's Lutheran School in Brookfield, Illinois, has been emphasizing the six chief parts and the seven liberal arts, providing classical education in the Lutheran tradition. Visit our website at spbrookfield.org or call 708-485-0650.
What are church elders responsible for? How can we build trust between pastors and elders? And how can we hold one another accountable? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for February is titled Pastors and Elders, Caring for the Church and One Another. You can check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase Pastors and Elders by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Pastors and Elders.
Contending for truth in an age of anti-truth. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
Would you like to share something you've heard on Issues Etc. via email, Facebook, Twitter, or text message? We've made it easy for you. Just go to the Listen On Demand page of our website, issuesetc.org, and click Share This. You'll find almost 50 ways to share Issues Etc. audio. We love our on-demand listeners. Old Theology, New Technology, issuesetc.org. Go to the Listen On Demand page and click Share This.